To summarize very briefly, there are a lot of new forms of protection under preparation for databases of non-original content for broadcasters, and on the side of the exceptions and limitations, there's basically the framework of the three-step test, right? Okay. Maybe before we go on, we take one or two questions from the audience, directly, questions of understanding, directly to Gedi Lang's here? Presentation.
Well, this is not a question, but a comment. I'm kind of wondering, or also a little bit shocked to have this kind of 20-minute propaganda speech from a representative from WIPO here in this conference. We're expected to have interesting discussions about the future of digital commons. So, yeah, that's it.
Maybe we take another one?
Hello, my name is Jamie Love. I was at the last 3 days, I was at the Standing Committee on Copyright, and I'd just like the representative from WIPO to comment on the observation that there was, appeared to be, to me, intense opposition by almost every developing country to continuing to list the database issue on the agenda for the Standing Committee on Copyright. Certainly representation that in the United States no such legislation has ever passed. And with respect to the broadcast treaty, I'd like you to characterize the position that was taken by virtually every single copyright owners group, including the recording industry, the people that represented writers, the people that represented performers, etc., and all of the groups that represented consumer interest and sort of free speech interest, what their opinion was on the broadcast treaty. And explain to me why it is that the WIPO secretariat is trying to force the countries that are members of WIPO into scheduling a diplomatic conference on a treaty on broadcasters organization, which is nowhere near as a consensus and opposed by almost the entire copyright owner community. And also to explain that if they pass a treaty on broadcast organizations and copyright organizations, why it is that you have to give a 50-year exclusive right to exploit all these works and things like that to people who neither created the works, owned the works themselves, or would normally have any rights in the works whatsoever. And why it is that that's such a high priority with WIPO when they've had other things, for example, the blind petitioning WIPO to solve problems of the handicap by having uniform harmonization of exceptions so they can distribute works across the internet to benefit handicapped people, or where there's a whole lot of other things, kind of a social agenda for WIPO that they could embrace and sort of address the problem of ordinary people. Why it is that a handful of broadcasters are tying up this committee meeting after meeting after meeting, despite, you know, basically almost no empirical evidence that there's any need to do anything on behalf of broadcast organizations, and despite the fact it's completely evident that if you apply that property regime to the internet in the webcasting thing with the definitions they've included, you'd essentially eliminate the public domain as we know it on the internet. Thank you.
Well, thank you, and nice to meet you also. Well, before answering the questions, somebody said to me when I mentioned that I was coming to this conference, since we work with the United Nations, I mean, we are one of the 17 specialized agencies of the United Nations, somebody said to me, bring your blue helmet. But I don't think that it's necessary to bring it for this meeting. Well, regarding the issue of protection of non-original databases, perhaps you were present during the session when countries discussed this specific point of the agenda. It was the first point of the agenda. I can remember that the delegation of Brazil was the only one that proposed to formally delete this issue from the agenda. There were other delegations that decided not to do so. And that's why, I don't know if you stayed until yesterday for the adoption of the recommendations, but it was decided that at least the issue will be kept in the agenda, and countries will inform about the developments they have at national level, if they have, if any, when discussing this issue. So, as I said, I mean, member states are the ones, and these recommendations were adopted unanimously yesterday, and this recommendation of keeping this point in the agenda, it was an agreed decision from member states. Whether if is this kind of protection is convenient or not for specifically developing countries is a matter to be seen. We commissioned 6 studies in 2002, and the results indicated that it's not for the moment opportune or convenient to establish this kind of protection. But the member states decided to keep this point in the agenda, at least. Secondly, regarding the broadcasting treaty, I am sorry to disagree with you regarding your assertion or your statement about WIPO pushing for the discussion or for the adoption of an international treaty in this respect. As I say, and I repeat, this is an agenda set by the member states in the Standing Committee of Copyright and Related Rights. In 1996, when the WCT and WPPT were adopted, the member states decided to put aside this topic together with the non-original databases and the audiovisual performances. 3 issues were put aside for discussions in another context and in subsequent sessions. And as I said, I mean, this is a matter that is being considered since 1997, and I don't see that there is an indication for member state regarding the non-discussion of this topic. Of course, I don't think that I don't think that right now is the moment for a diplomatic conference, but the fact that we have received 16 proposals from different countries. A few minutes ago I was talking with somebody from Argentina that made some comments this morning, and I said he was really ashamed about the proposal of Argentina, but I said to him, well, it's not only that Argentina is actively participated in the negotiations, but also Argentina presented as a country a proposal for a treaty on broadcasting organization. Regarding the term of protection, I mean, it's something that's not decided yet. Some countries, or the majority of them, are proposing, I'm talking about 16 proposals that we have received from member states, 50 years for protection. Only one delegation, the delegation of Singapore, is proposing 20 years. But, sorry? I'm talking about... Excuse me. I'm talking about the 16 proposals we have received in language treaty. Could you use a microphone? That's hard
to hear. I mean, I think this is incredible. Yesterday, the chairman made this big speech about the fact there was a single country that had presented 20 years, and that's why it was admitted from the chairman's draft. And when India took the floor, you know, and who had taken the floor earlier and complained about the 50-year term, you know, it was a big, huge event just yesterday when this basically discussion went on. And other countries have complained about these things. So I'll tell you what Chile said. They said, yeah, we have Rome Plus. We passed all these treaties. We were told to do this sort of thing. We never basically expected these things would even be enforced. They said, if you look at Latin American laws, they're horrible. They have no exceptions. They have all kinds of sort of things. So they move into these discussions and these treaties, and then that's basically brought back at them for this new treaty. The difference is this treaty will be enforceable. just the same as these other treaties are all being put into dispute resolution. And the FTAs, the United States, negotiating with Peru, with Chile, with the CAFTA region and things like that, that have the kind of enforcement mechanisms that WTO has, plus the technological protection measures and things like that. It is a big change. But beyond that, lots of countries haven't adopted any of these things, including even the United States. Now, this characterization is that somehow this is something being pushed by the member countries, I think, is absurd. The reason they submit proposals is because they're rushing ahead on a treaty. Even we submitted a proposal. We submitted a proposal with the music managers in the treaty that was joined by, you know, lots of other groups. Does that mean we're pushing for a diplomatic conference? No, that means if there's going to be a diplomatic conference, Argentina and everybody else wants to have, you know, some text in the mill. So they put stuff in. Then you sit here before this group and use that as an excuse to say this is being pushed by those developing countries. I tell you, it's really bad faith. You know, if you really want to speak frankly with this group, why don't you try and describe to us where the real push for the broadcast treaty is really coming from? What are the forces that are pushing for that treaty? And what are the and who exactly is pushing for this webcasting protection? And what the heck will it do to the entire internet? I mean, like, how is the definition of webcasting different from every single web page on the internet?
Finish? Yeah. Well, can I refer? Can I refer to the 50 years again? When I refer to the 16 proposals, I mean, when the chairman prepared the consolidated text, he proposed 50 years of 20 years. And he based this text, this basic proposal, we can say, in the 16 proposals presented by different member states. And as I said, only Singapore, the proposal of Singapore, and we can check that in the internet if you want.
What does India say about the 50 years?
I'm talking about the proposal in a language of treaty presented formally to WIPO.
And so does India not count? Are they not like a formal presenter? They don't, when they speak on the floor of the they represent a billion people. I mean, does that mean nothing to the?
Would you let me finish, please? Yeah. So the idea is that we are moving, or the member states are moving between. Well, not only, I mean, regarding the convenience of protecting or not broadcasting cablecaster. Or webcasters, but also discussing if the protection is granted, the term of protection. Nothing is decided yet. As you said, I mean, the member states are discussing between a rank of different terms of protection. It can be 20, like the Rome Convention. It can be 50. It can be,
what's
can
the TRIPS?
70.
What does the TRIPS require? The WTO, what do they require for broadcasting?
20.
Or nothing. Right.
Well, yeah, because it's the case of broadcasting. Perhaps, I mean, I don't know if somebody in the audience is interested in this topic, but certainly broadcasting organizations, the protection of broadcasting organization through the TRIPS agreement is, let's say, a kind of optional protection. Countries are not obliged to grant protection through to the broadcasting organization if the subject matter is protected through copyright.
So, yeah,
can I refer to something that you said about the blind? Because this is another point, and I'm sorry to disagree again with you about the work with the blinds. Perhaps you attended the meeting, the information meeting we organized regarding digital content for the visually impaired in November 2003. Did you attend that meeting?
We were there for the meeting. Yeah.
Yeah. So we are in negotiations now with the World Blind Union regarding, for instance, the insertion of a model provision, a draft provision in the WIPO model of copyright law, a specific provision for the blind people. Certainly, I think this is an undeniable limitation for a group of beneficiaries, and we can see that in many national laws, even if international treaties don't address this issue, many national laws include this specific exception or specific exceptions for the visually impaired. Even in the United States, for instance, you have, through the Chaffee Amendment of the copyright law, the United States, the copyright law of the United States, you have an exception for visually impaired person. So as I said, we are working first of all with the blinds regarding the development of model provision at international level, but also we are in the preparatory work of a survey to determine what kind of limitation is or exists in national laws, and if there are certain rights, for instance, the right of importation, that is linked to these specific limitations and exceptions to facilitate the exchange, the international exchange of works converted into Braille or Moon or other analogous system that benefit the visually impaired persons, if this exception exists, and if what is the situation of the right of importation for this to benefit these people. So I'm sorry to disagree, but we are also working not only with the blinds, but also, for instance, with the libraries. Perhaps you are aware that we are in March, we had a group of kind of negotiation in Asia regarding the exceptions and limitations for libraries and educational institutions. As I said, what I want to say to conclude this is that the International Bureau, we don't set our own agenda. The agenda is set by member states. And if you were
That's not what they say.
If you were yesterday in the adoption of the recommendation.
That's not what Chile says. That's not what Egypt says. And one thing I'd like, just last thing, is if you wanted to really have a better reception with the people working on these problems, if they would elevate the idea of treaties, instruments, harmonization instruments that benefit libraries and the blind, and put those on the agenda instead of the data. If you look at the priorities, they're pretty clear. You put them up yourself. I didn't describe the priorities. When you put the library priority and the handicap priority on the same slide of the priority, then we'll have a real sense of what WIPO is trying to protect. Thank you.
Can I say something?
Maybe one last question. We have another topic for this session that we should give some space and some time, but I would like to ask one last question. Maybe you can answer these two together. And that's the question, what does it take to get a diplomatic conference on the digital commons? So what we have now is diplomatic conferences on more rights, and then as an afterthought, there are exceptions and limitations. We have to somehow fit them in, and then the blind people are coming in, and the librarians are coming in, so we sort of have... That's the feeling I think a lot of people here got. So what would it take to turn this around and to take the digital commons as a subject of a diplomatic conference, not asking what is left after protection, but how can positive limitation rights be established and strengthened. Thank you.
I must say that, I mean, the question of digital commons, perhaps we are talking with different terms, using different terms. I mean, when you are talking about digital commons, we are talking about limitations and exceptions of copyright. So we can say that, I mean, they are already inserted and considered in the international treaties. But if you are talking about, for instance, a diplomatic conference or international negotiations regarding public domain or digital commons, as I said, I mean, it's something that is set in the agenda of the standing committee primarily through the member states. So this morning you were mentioning that you had attended the standing committee to have contact with different delegations, with certain delegations. But I think that before that, and this is a personal recommendation, before that, at least at the European level, you can do more. I mean, by contacting your national partners that are negotiating at European level, because at European level, the negotiations are different. I mean, it's not, for instance, in the case of Germany that goes to negotiate directly a treaty in WIPO. They attend the conferences, the meetings, but there is also, or there is beforehand, an agreed position from all the countries, the member states of the European community. So everything is, let's say, we can say pre-cooked or decided at European level, in the European Commission, and then they come with an uniform position to the negotiations of WIPO. So first of all, I think that the first recommendation is, first of all, work with your representative here. I'm sure that, for instance, for the negotiation of the new German copyright law of last year, you are aware that you have a new copyright law that implement the directive, the InfoSoc directive, and implement all the provisions of the WCT and WPPT was adopted last year. And then, I mean, I think that you can do more at national level before going to at the international fora. And as I said, I mean, it's a matter of common proposal and common will from the member states' side. That's it.
Okay, thank you very much.